Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm really delighted you're with us today. I'm going to be here just with you, so we're going to have a lovely time together. I've been hearing from people who tell me they don't understand the whole concept of reincarnation. And, you know, really, that's not surprising, because Westerners have no idea that Christianity has expunged all evidence of reincarnation that they were able to find. And it seems to most of us like kind of an Eastern religious fairy tale. And of course, I'm someone who was deeply and earnestly Christian for the first 50 plus years of my life. So I was into researching the afterlife literally for decades before I realized that my refusal to look at all the bits of evidence I was finding everywhere for reincarnation was just a religion-based phobia. And my refusal to look at that evidence was making it more and more impossible for me really to make sense of anything. I think I was in my late 40s when I finally gave up trying to hold off the flood of reincarnation information. I knew the afterlife was real by then. I was, believe it or not, I'm a severe skeptic. It's hard to convince me of anything. But the evidence for the afterlife was so strong by then that for me to deny it anymore was impossible. So I was at the stage at that point of being sure that any minute now I was going to find some evidence that Christianity was real. I was looking as far as I could, and who knew which evidential thread I would tug and it would finally make me come across some evidence that Jesus died for our sins. That was where I was in this stage of my life. So kind of in desperation, I began to delve into reincarnation too. The fact is that repeated reincarnation is at the core of everybody's life. We all live dozens, even hundreds of lifetimes. Frankly, when I tugged that thread, that was my last attempt to discover that Christianity was real. All the Christian dogmas are not real, and I've accepted that now. But reincarnation actually is wonderful. It's nothing like what any of the Eastern religions think it should be, and of course it's nothing like anything related to Christianity. My beloved spirit guide, who's Thomas, as you know, he tells me that he and I have shared 17 lifetimes together, and it's likely that you and those you feel closest to in this lifetime, and maybe your own spirit guides, also have lived many lifetimes together. Isn't that fun to think about? Most of us feel really close to just a few people in our whole lives here. I mean, you know that's true. But in what we call the afterlife, which actually is our real lives, we're intensely close to dozens of people, hundreds of people, our beloveds from every one of those prior lifetimes and actually future lifetimes, believe it or not, loves us still, and we love them, and it's more fun than you can possibly imagine to have those reunions. I mean, you may be living just what we would think of as an ordinary lifetime now, but we've all done all kinds of things in prior lifetimes. Maybe you were a king, an advisor to a king. You know, maybe you were a great criminal. You may be a man now, but you certainly once were a female. Also, if you're a female, you probably almost certainly have been a man once in a while. You were a warrior, you were a courtesan, you were a thief, you were everybody. And that's part of what's fun about this, because we all have lived so many lives. And after you die, one of the first joys that you will have when you return home will be to revisit some or all of those other lives. Actually, the lives that feel most prominent to us are going to be right there in your eternal mind when you rejoin. It's almost immediate that you resume your whole eternal mind. You bring about 5% of your mind, we think, into your conscious reality during your lifetime. So you're really not nearly as smart as you're going to be right after you die. You rejoin that lifetime, and there are all these memories. People that we used to think were dead tell us that this whole experience of suddenly rejoining your eternal mind is an extraordinary experience because you're so much much smarter, and you have access to all those memories, and then there are people around you right when you get there who are hugging you that you don't know in this lifetime, but you recognize them, and you realize you hugged them just a minute ago, so where is all that time gone? You just lived a whole lifetime, and it took no time at all. That's one of the things which, I mean, even if you don't think you have friends in this lifetime, and many people feel that way, that nobody's really close to them, you have great, great eternal people who are there with you all the time. I remember when I was, I don't know, a young child, maybe I was a teenager, and I was having a rough experience with a boyfriend. And I remember thinking, this is still vivid in my mind. I remember thinking, well, maybe in the afterlife there's someone who loves me. And there was this overwhelming flood of love that I felt. I mean, obviously there were many people who loved me there, and they were making sure I knew that. That's all of us. We all have that wonderful fact that there are so many people we love who are right there loving us all the time. And reincarnation is one of the reasons we can have so many people loving us. We have lived dozens, hundreds, so many lifetimes. But one problem that we have in beginning to understand reincarnation is that it so directly contradicts all the false nonsense that is Christianity. And it bears so little resemblance to the concept of reincarnation that are held by Eastern religions. For example, karma. Everyone assumes karma is real. It's just another religious term. It's something like something that happens, but that's the whole point of religion. It's not real. The kind of reincarnation that's genuine is really a whole new set of facts. But what's wonderful about it is that it fits perfectly with the afterlife evidence, and it explains a lot of things, frankly, about Earth life, too. It's just new. And that explains a lot of things about why the afterlife is so confusing to people who don't believe in reincarnation. There's a whole new country, and it's a whole reality. And we're going to talk about it today. Actually, in fact, coming to understand reincarnation, does some extraordinary things for each of us because it gives us a great new perspective on everything. Earth life, the afterlife, everything, because it fits so perfectly. It's like a puzzle piece. And when you put that puzzle piece into the place where it fits, so many things fit together. If you're a seeker too, then I really think you need to tackle reincarnation as soon as possible because it's going to help you make so much more sense of things. Please first put aside all those religious-based beliefs. All the Christian concepts are going to just get in the way. None of them are real. We've talked about that before. And also, as I say, Eastern religions too. The genuine reincarnation is new, and like any genuine truth, you really need to understand it, and suddenly then it all clicks. It's all right. It's all perfect, and the beauty of it is that it makes sense and it explains other things. So we're going to talk about reincarnation today. I'm going to tell you some things that are going to just blow your mind, but I'm going to tell you other things, too, that are going to make you nod and say, okay, I get that now. I get that. There are things about what we're learning about reincarnation that are going to make it so much easier for you to live your life in a better, more productive way, because there are things that happen to you in your lifetime that you don't understand now. I get a lot of, as you can imagine, a lot of contacts through my website. I just answered 5 more questions. One of the people who asked a question was talking about being places and having things seem familiar. Deja vu. Very often, deja vu is a memory of another lifetime. People have talked to me about recurring dreams of negative things happening or anything happening. That also can be a memory of another lifetime. There is a bleed, and I'm about to explain to you why, but there's a bleed among all our lifetimes, past, present, and future. So even though you're focused on this one right now, I mean, you spend a third of your life sleeping, and you're doing all kinds of things during that time, which are going to give you strange dreams, maybe because you're meeting with someone you knew in another lifetime that makes you dream about that time or that person. It's all so much more complicated and more wonderful than anyone has ever told us. And we're going to talk about it today As I say, I need you to clear your mind, because so many of the things about reincarnation will not make sense to you while you have anything in terms of a religious belief in your mind. So please try to do that, and please open your mind to this, because the fact is your mind truly is eternal. You never began, you never will end. I tell you that every week, and I hope you're beginning to believe it. Because there's no such time, no such thing as time. If something ever existed, then it always exists. Think about that for a moment. You're eternal by definition. You truly never can end, but neither did you ever begin. This whole notion of a beginning and an ending is just a beliefs-based notion that is foreign to what is true. So we're going to have a lot of fun with this today, I hope. I really don't know anyone who is an expert on reincarnation that I feel comfortable having being able to share this with you. So that's why I'm going to tell you myself what I've learned. As you've noticed, I like to have guests, because then I don't have to talk as much or be as smart. But this is something which I've really never found anyone who can talk about in a way that's consistent with what I've come to understand is true. I'm hoping that will change, and then I'll have someone back who can share with you additional thoughts about reincarnation. I'm not an expert on it, but I am an expert on what's true about reality and about the afterlife. So reincarnation fits in. We're going to have fun with it today. Reincarnation really does happen. The evidence is overwhelming, but there are a lot of things about it that are, as I said, a little bit freakish seeming. Perhaps the hardest part of it for most of us is really coming to understand that reality has no time. This sort of mathematics-based material universe, which as we know is the only level of reality that we've come to discover is material, and that it's probably 5% or less of what we know exists, and there's a lot more we don't know exists. It's a little bit of space, this material universe. And we've talked in other Seek Reality programs about why it is it's material. It has to do with making us take our lessons here seriously. But this is the only place that comes with a time arrow as part of the package. Apparently, as Einstein said, it's just so everything doesn't seem to us to be happening at once. We have a very limited mind here, less than 5% of your eternal mind, as I think I've said. So you would be really confused if we had everything happening at the same time. When you are who you really are back in the true reality that we call the afterlife, which is erroneous because it's also the before life, when you're back there, it's going to be normal to you to have no time at all. But we're so used to the time arrow when we're here on Earth that, frankly, we have trouble imagining living without it. But since we're nearly always without it, I think you'll begin to be able to understand this as you think about it more. In the afterlife, there's no time the way we think of time. So what does that have to say about reincarnation? Well, here's something to blow your mind. Every one of your lifetimes is happening at the same time. It's all happening at once. And that's your previous lifetimes and your future lifetimes. They're influencing one another. And in fact, it appears that all of history is influencing one another. What does that mean? I mean, think of just millions and millions of threads all hanging in the air and all influencing one another, so that the ones that get most tangled make the others more tangled and vice versa. This is what it seems to actually mean. When we become very negative in the way we live, we influence the past and the future to be more negative. And conversely, as we become more positive, we influence the past and the future that way. Now, the 20th century was probably the most bloody and horrendous that we can find in history. It doesn't seem that way to us because we're used to it, but it's horrific. I mean, there were 100 million plus people who died just because of communism all by itself. And think of all the wars, and think of all the fighting and the Cold War. I mean, it was a horrible time. So it is very possible that the 20th century did was to make worse the past and the future. We believe that's actually what happened. For example, we know that in our history books, Columbus burned, believe it or not, 100 Native American chieftains at the stake. Horrible. but it may be that without the 20th century, all that Columbus did was to give them a stern lecture. Do you see what I'm saying? We are told now by the most elevated beings that because the 20th century was so negative, we so much lowered the vibration of this planet that if we don't change things fairly quickly, within 200 years, the planet is going to be virtually uninhabitable. Nobody will be able to reproduce, apparently. Everyone will be very, very poor. It's just going to be hell. But if we now make the 21st century a time of love, life, and harmony and everything positive, we may be able to make it so that in the 20th century, when we go and look at a history book about the 20th century, things weren't so bad. Maybe we avoided the Second World War by being reasonable when we ended the first one. Do you see what I'm saying? This is something that's hard for us to understand. It's like playing five-dimensional chess at the same time or something. But it appears that it nevertheless is true, and it's true of your own life as well. If you have had a horrible childhood, or if you've done negative things in your life, but you turn it around and you're suddenly doing wonderful things and being kind and loving and you learn to forgive perfectly and all of that, it may well be that the other lifetimes that gave you the predisposition to do negative things also are transformed. I have come to think that the ultimate history is going to be one, and the books will be on the shelves because it'll be the only thing that ever happened, one in which there is no war. It's all peace. It's all love. It's all light. It's all beautiful flowers. So you have the power, just by taking your earth lessons very seriously, to do much more good than you can possibly imagine. Our minds are all connected, as we know. There's really only one mind, one consciousness, and therefore it's very easy for us to make things better just by making ourselves better. Transforming yourself transforms everything. And if she was 5% or even less of the people on this planet will take that seriously, we can begin the reign of love and light over all of human history. Now, for your individual lifetime, the fact that they're all happening at the same time is interesting, because people will have these things happen. They'll have a bleed through, for example. They'll be going down a street and they'll suddenly see it looking, it's never happened to me, but I'm told it does happen, looking as if people are walking around dressed as they were in the 16th century, and the buildings all look that way and they're just horses. And I've also heard of people seeing very much futuristic scenes all of a sudden. It's like there's a little bleed through of a different time. Also, there's the complex concept of karma. Now, as far as karma is concerned, this sort of balancing of scales that the Eastern religions talk about doesn't seem to happen. I mean, you can have lived 100 horrible lifetimes, and you can cancel all of that in one lifetime just by living a good lifetime. There's no scale like that. But doing bad things in one lifetime can very much influence what's happening in your lifetime now, and vice versa. You know, living a very good lifetime can help to start a benevolent cycle in all your own lifetimes that are happening at once. It's just really does make your eyes cross, but it's true. Now, many people have heard of past life regression therapy. You know, if you have some issue in this life, They'll hypnotize you, they'll regress you, and basically the therapist just says, we've had Peter Wright on, he's very good at this, we'll have him on again. The therapist says, all right, go to where this fear of falling came from. And lo and behold, you suddenly remember that, you know, you have a feeling you're falling off, I don't know, a mountain, and maybe you're a Neanderthal or something. And all you have to do is remember that experience. He brings you out of it. You're not afraid to fall anymore. It's the most amazing thing. Now, sometimes they cannot find that experience that made you afraid of falling in this lifetime in your past. It just comes up blank. So what has been discovered is that you also can be future life progressed. There's a book on this. Brian Weiss wrote Same Soul, Many Bodies. I think it came out in 2005. Read that. It kind of does really blow your mind. But If you can't find that experience of falling in the past, and they'll take you into a progression therapy session, you will find it in the future, and suddenly you'll remember that you fell off a spaceship, who knows what, and in the future, and then it also cures the fear of falling. I mean, this does kind of make your eyes cross, but it's very, very exciting, I think, because it shows that we really can have much more control of our lives if we understand, provided that we get the basic truths right. Now, I had an experience like this. I didn't even have to be regressed by a hypnotist. When I first heard about the fact that regression therapy works, I started to get these flashes of images of being a Native American. It was dawn. I'm standing on the edge of a cliff. And it would just be a flash of I didn't even seem like a memory at first. But then one day, after it had been a few months probably, I thought, oh my goodness, I'll bet I was that kid. It was like in the 1800s, or maybe very early 1800s, something like that, or 1700s. And I didn't remember what came after that. But as soon as I had the thought, I bet I was that kid, and I bet that idiot kid fell off. I was like 16 at the time, I think, in the vision. I was a 16-year-old Indian boy. I stopped having the visions. I didn't think about it anymore. But a friend of mine was celebrating the 25th anniversary of her company in New York City at the time. And it was a Sunday after the big celebration. And she took us up to her office on like the 93rd floor of some building. And all the windows were open because there was no air conditioning on it. It was a warm day. So the winds were blowing through the rooms. And I could see the Chrysler Building right there. And I was so excited. I went right to the window. I almost even leaned out of this open window up 90 million stories. And then I turned and could see the Chrysler Building. Then I turned and looked at my husband, who was standing in the doorway, and his mouth was agape. He told me, he sort of came to get me. He said, I thought you wouldn't even be able to be in this place because the windows are open. I had lost my fear, and it was a crippling fear, a fear of falling out of an open window or out of an open space. That idiot did step off a cliff. He thought he could fly. Turned out that was not a successful experiment, and it ended his life. And so I had carried the fear of stepping off a place who knows how many lifetimes. But it was ended just by remembering that lifetime. So I can tell you, it does work beautifully. If you have any phobias or issues like that that you'd love to get rid of, you know, call Peter Wright, call almost anyone who's a good regression therapist, and you're as good as cured, my dear. Isn't that exciting to think of? Why do we need to reincarnate at all? Why is the system set up to go through all of this complexity? The reason is simple. When we're in our true home, which we, you know, call the afterlife, but it's really real life, we crave spiritual growth like every craving of our earth lives put together. Food, water, sex, you name it, money, power. Take all those cravings that you've ever had, put them together, and it's like 10 times that craving that you have for spiritual growth in the afterlife. And yet it's very hard to get it there because the conditions for allowing you to grow spiritually just don't exist there. The only thing we know that actually exists is what we experience as human consciousness. Of course, we're experiencing just a speck of human consciousness. You'd have to multiply that by a million times to even imagine what it would be like to have full consciousness as the spirit does, as God does. But it's the same stuff. And the problem is that consciousness exists in a range of vibrations. The lowest vibration, the very lowest, is what we would experience as abject fear. The highest is perfect love. And what we're trying to do, we're all somewhere in the middle, we're at our sort of our base consciousness, and what we're trying to do is raise our vibration away from fear and toward ever more perfect love. Of course, this is what Jesus came to teach us, and this is what Christianity does not teach us, which is why the religion I love, I have to say, is retarding human spiritual growth, and Jesus is understandably not happy about that. But So there we are. We're trying. We're clawing our way upward spiritually toward the Godhead, toward perfection. And in what we think of as the afterlife levels, to have a higher vibration is so much more fun. I mean, they tell us there's so much more you can do. It's all more beautiful. And when you get to a certain point, you don't feel that you need to come back to the earth anymore. So we have a real incentive to work hard at this. We crave spiritual growth, but we can't do it in the afterlife. What we need appears to be two things. We need, number one, something to push against. We need negativity in order for us to grow. And number two, we also need free will, because if we can't choose love over fear, we'll never be able to grow spiritually at all. So we come here just as if it were a spiritual, literally, this is a spiritual gym. We strip down to our t-shirt and shorts. That's that, you know, leaving most of our eternal mind behind, and the mind we have here is designed to grow spiritually as rapidly as possible. Free will is very prominent in that mind, as is a kind of fundamental laziness, so that we'll do whatever is easiest for us. And that means that we don't have to overcome, different views from what the truth is. Once we exercise our free will for love, we very quickly have developed that kind of result in our minds, that kind of pathway, and it's very self-reinforcing. But that's why we choose all the negative stuff, because it's just like a machine. They tell me that if you go to a gym, which I've never done, there are these machines where you can grow your muscles, you can make them stronger. So, you know, all the horrible things that we think means that God could not possibly love us, all those things, those are the machines we chose. Horrible illness, bad marriage, death of a child, all those horribly negative things, repeated failures in business, each of them is the machine that we chose to get on in this lifetime so we could repeatedly choose love over fear. It's all about choosing love over fear. And my book, of course, The Fun of Growing Forever, shows how you can use all of the things about the way your mind is set up. Jesus gave us the easiest way to use our minds to grow spiritually, and that's what The Fun of Growing Forever is about. He told us all of this long ago. It's just that Christians ignore it. Jesus said, "You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Of course, that's Matthew 5:43-48. Now, what Jesus tells us over and over again is how to make this happen, how to get to the point where you're choosing love over fear. This is a big reason why he teaches forgiveness. You know, Peter asks, "Well, how many times should I have to forgive?" You know, up to seven times. Seven was a magical word back then. Jesus said, "Oh, no, 77 times, or depending upon the translation, it's, you know, could be 700 times seven, but it's always sevens in it." We were meant to forgive every single time. That's another of the challenges we set for ourselves. It's so unfortunate that Christianity is so perfectly blind to the truth that it has right in its own scriptures. You can tell I'm sort of like a someone who has been jilted by someone I loved. I've been jilted by the religion I loved, and that's kind of tragic to me. But no, in perfect fact, everything that Jesus said was true, and it's just a pity. It's a pity that the religion has not taken all of this more seriously. I think it's important for Christians to know that Jesus taught all of this stuff. He did. The Council of Nicaea, however, in 325, actually admitted to removing from the Gospels every reference to reincarnation they could find. Can you imagine that? I mean, that just shows you how absolutely disrespectful they were of the Lord. Isn't that terrible? They wanted us to be worried about fixing our lives in this lifetime, and therefore they didn't want us to think that we might have another chance. Fortunately, though, the Council of Nicaea didn't find and remove it all. Here are just a couple of examples. Jesus told us that John the Baptist was the reincarnation of the prophet Elijah. He did say that. Jesus said, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He is the Elijah who was to come." Then he said, "Whoever has ears, let him hear." Matthew 11:13-15. Now, we've talked about this before, but when Jesus was speaking, everything he says in the Gospels, he has to say very carefully, because the whole time he was on earth, to speak against the prevailing religion was an automatic death sentence. And of course, he was trying to stay alive long enough to be able to teach us what he had come to teach us. Now, His followers followed him from place to place, but there always were temple guards, and the beauty of it was the temple guards would change. You know, every day there'd be a different pair of temple guards or something. They're listening. So what he was very sneaky about this. He would that's why he taught in parables, because he was trying to teach something in a way that his people who were used to him would get it, but other people wouldn't. That's why he kept saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, in this case, he says, "If you are willing to accept it." I mean, I guess that got him past the temple guards. You don't have to believe it. You might. "He who has ears, let him hear." When you're reading the Gospels, always watch for that, because what he's saying there is, I'm saying something deeper than what you think I'm saying. It is amazing, given that there were two translations of the Gospels, that we truly do have this information, and we do, because the translation actually from Aramaic to Greek, and then the translation to Greek from Greek to modern English, actually is more accurate as far as the afterlife evidence tells us to what's really going on than is a direct translation from Aramaic to English. That to me is a genuine miracle. That was literally Jesus looking over the shoulders of the people doing the translations. It boggles my mind, but it's true. He told us things in the Gospels that we can really only make sense of in that two-step translation that absolutely agree with the things that the dead were teaching us. So now we have that basis, and now we have very good communications from people that we used to think were dead, who are telling us exactly why we're here. Why are we here? To grow spiritually. They also tell us that if we will follow the teachings of Jesus, the easiest, I think, spiritual growth recipe ever given to us, if we'll follow those teachings, we can make any life our last lifetime. I mean, the reason we keep, as the Buddhists say, turning on the wheel, having to come back over and over again, is that until now, we haven't even, because of Christianity has buried the teachings of Jesus and not taught people the truth, we turn on that wheel because we don't know why we're here. And we think it's just one lifetime, which is another thing, of course, that Christianity teaches us that is not true. So all of this, frankly, makes me tear my hair out. It bothers me very much that so many people, even people who love Jesus, who want to do the truth, who really are seekers, just don't get anything from the religion that bears his name. And that's unfortunate. But fortunately, we can do what I've done, and I'm trying to just make it easy for you to do it by taking all the shortcuts that I've laid down. But we don't have to be in ignorance, and we don't have to be in fear. In fact, you are infinitely loved. You are being loved in such a way that you have nothing that you need to worry about. You don't have to sit in the pew and be scared. What you can do is be free, and Jesus is your guide. But Jesus did tell us that reincarnation is real. I'll give you the best example when we come back from the break. But the very thing that the Christians hang their hats on about one important little passage, it's not true at all. It makes no sense when you read the passage, the interpretation that Christianity gives it. And now I'm going to read to you a passage from the Gospels, which Christians hang their hats on when it comes to Jesus died for your sins, and you have to accept Jesus as your Savior. And this, to me, is the most important reference to reincarnation that survived the surgery done by the Council of Nicaea in 325. Jesus would abhor the interpretation on it now, that somehow he had to have God allow him and watch him die in order to be willing to forgive us. There's nothing more horrendous than that. That's insulting to God. It's insulting to Jesus, and it's not true. So here's what this actual passage is. It's John 3:3-8. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Born again, get it? Now, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Now let's go back and look at what he's actually saying. He says we have to be born of water and the Spirit. So, of course, they say, baptism! Water is baptism. If you've ever seen a birth, you know just what he's saying. The baby is the Spirit, and the water is everywhere. I mean, when the amniotic sac breaks, there's a lot of water. He's not talking about baptism at all. And we know that because of the rest of this passage. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Each one of us is a package. Part of us is flesh, this sort of meat suit that we wear walking around, that's flesh. And it's your genes, your parents' genes created the genes that created this flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We are spiritual beings. Actually, as I've said before, your mind is nowhere near your body. If you saw the movie Avatar, that'll make more sense. Your mind has remained in God, and you are just connected to this particular body. Your brain is like a two-way radio in the head of a meat robot. It's giving and receiving information to your mind, which is nowhere near it. People then could not have understood any of this. You know that. It's hard for us even to get it now, but at least we have some analogies we can make. And I have to just tell you parenthetically, in the early part of the 20th century, these analogies were already being made. You know, I mean, I talk about it as TV, you know, the TV signal. Well, the dead, the people who were communicating then from where the dead are, would talk about radio signals. You know, it's not obviously the orchestra is not inside the radio. So it's fascinating to me. They immediately saw how they could better teach this stuff. But this is the part which shows you that the interpretation by the Christians is wrong. "Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." That's, of course, reincarnation. You can't be born just once. You come back repeatedly. Then he says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Obviously, spirits can't be seen. They move as they like, and sometimes people can hear them or communicate with them. Do you see it? I mean, if indeed the Christian interpretation were the right interpretation, he wouldn't have talked about the fact that the wind blows, we can't see it, and that's the way people are who are born of the Spirit. Between bodies, you are indeed a spirit. I mean, my beloved spirit guide, who is around me all the time, I never see him. He doesn't have a body right now. But he incarnated many times on Earth before he was advanced enough to be able to stop incarnating. It's important that we be free enough to actually look frankly at the truth. I ask you not to be afraid of the truth, because the more I have studied it, the more convinced I have become that there's nothing for us to fear. I remember being so afraid when I was young. I had to have a light on at night. I sit in the dark all night now. There is nothing, nothing, nothing to fear. You are safe in everlasting arms all the time. Now, Jesus told us repeatedly that he didn't want us to start a religion, which I think is pretty surprising. But that's fine, because as long as we understand that we have outgrown the religion, we will be able very easily to go to the teachings, which are the important thing. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. You are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:31-32. He also said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Matthew 7:7-8. But I remember when I first started looking at the afterlife evidence, because, you know, everybody says, Christianity says it's evil to listen to spirits. Well, that's perfect nonsense. Anyone who's read the Bible knows that they're right and left talking to the dead. And John, I think it's 1 John 4, actually says, just be sure you try the spirits to make sure they're of God, because this is something all good mediums do, because there are, you know, negative spirits out there. You don't want to pick them up. I remember Carol Morgan, who communicates with her wonderful son, Mikey, who is a sixth-level being. She always would call in Mikey, and only my son Mikey, and then he would communicate by pendulum. But one day she forgot to do that, and the pendulum started saying all kinds of strange things, and then it went still, and Mikey came in, and he was fiercely saying with the pendulum, Mom, you've always got a call for me. That was somebody else. So, you know, that was good advice in 1 John 4, but it doesn't say don't talk to the spirits. One of the problems we have with Christianity now is that many of the people who are making their money from it are very anxious that we not seek the truth, even though Jesus tells us to seek the truth. Instead, they say, oh, I've got the truth here. You don't have to look any further. That's not true. I urge you, really urge you, if you still feel nervous about Christianity and kind of afraid not to go on Sunday and certainly afraid to maybe try to look behind it, Jesus calls you to look behind it. He knew they were going to make a religion out of what he was doing, and he was just saying, you know, you're not going to need that religion forever. Seek and you will find. So in the beginning, that was what really all that I could kind of hang my hat on. It was very, very important to me not to do anything wrong, but Jesus said to do it. So I said, all right, I'm going to trust the Lord, and I will do it. But just to sum things up about reincarnation, reincarnation does happen. It happens all the time and to all of us. And if you want to stop reincarnating, which many people say, I don't want to do this anymore, if you want to stop reincarnating, just follow the teachings of Jesus strictly. You can make any lifetime your last lifetime, even if you're older. And that's really the good news. Now, as you know, you've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, and I'm really glad you could join us. I hope it's been fun. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, and you never will end. When you really get what that means, nothing will be the same in your life. Next week, we're going to again have Joyce Stewart as a guest. There are a few people whose work in seeking reality I admire, and she's one of them. Like me, she was once a really zealous Christian, and like me, she was called out of her little comfortable religion by spirit. She fought it too, and she was led on a journey that continues today, but she's really exploring in different ways than the ways that I do, and she has looked at some things I've never considered. Next week, we're going to be talking with her about the very special children who reportedly are now being born as part of the planet-wide efforts to elevate beings, to raise the vibratory level of humanity worldwide. Some of these children are extraordinary. Maybe your child or grandchild is one of these extraordinary children, so please join us and let's talk about it. Today, of course, we've been talking about reincarnation. I love reincarnation now. Before, it horrified me, but I love it. It's fun, and the implications of it are so extraordinary. I wish I could do a past life regression or two. I'd love to know more about my past lives and maybe even some future lives, but Thomas has said I can't do that. I did try it with Peter Wright, and he jumped right in and said not to do it. So I'll get to know all about it after I die. That's part of the fun of dying, actually. When you get back to your full eternal mind, and you're so much smarter, and you know everything, you also have a lot of memories, and you get to enjoy and love those memories. Now, as you know, my books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, The Fun of Living Together, and The Fun of Meeting Jesus for Children. You can find them in bookstores on Amazon.com and in translations. So please read any that interest you. And then if you have any questions, don't hesitate to go to RobertaGrimes.com and send me an email, because I answer all my emails. Past episodes of Seek Reality are available on WebTalkRadio.net, iTunes, through the Seek Reality app for free in the iTunes store, and on wonderful Dream Vision 7 Radio. And if you're ever wondering where you can find Seek Reality, you can just go to the radio tab at the top of the homepage at RobertaGrimes.com. I'll always let you know where I am. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at RobertaGrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.